Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It never ends around here. My constant shaming at the hands of Chinne Igwumike. It is Chinne and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. and no Chinne Igwumike today. We told you guys, she's in training camp. There's a lot happening right now as her and the LA Sporks, and I say Sporks because that's what she said, get ready for the WNBA season. So, to help us out today, Jason Fitz, kind enough to sit in with us here. You hear him every day, our neighbor to the north on Spain and Fitz, 7 to 9 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
You know what? I feel like we've been in a bit of our own training camp for draft, getting ready for it. So, like, you know, it's slightly similar. I'm reading about athletes. She is an athlete. I feel like I'm making a connect here.
I was going to say, you know, it's a really loose connection because Jason and I are going to be a part of ESPN's digital coverage of the upcoming NFL draft Thursday, Friday, and Saturday simulcast with ESPN Radio, where Fitzy will be hosting. But it's going to be great. It's going to be me, you, Matthew Berry, Field Yates, Trevor Scales, Ashley Brewer, whole great crew over there. But Fitz, I can promise you, it is in no way, shape, or form like training camp what we're going through right now. Chinne sat here in the middle of our breaks with a Theragun going at her body, going at her muscles. I don't even know if you know what that is.
Yeah, no, Theragun's a delight. I've been working out, buddy. Look at me. I am svelte. I am slick. I am ready to go. All right? You don't get this slick body without doing some working out. Like Insanity, you know. I'm going to start lifting weights, I think. Maybe get a little P90 going.
I'm
going
to start lifting weights. You say you've been sculpting yourself, and it's like, you know what? Maybe I'm going to start lifting weights right here.
I mean, you know, it's not always about bulk, big boy.
Believe me, I know it's not about bulk anymore.
We're throwing shade. We've been back together for seconds. We're throwing shade from 6 feet apart. I'm sorry. Say, you have a show to run.
You see how Jason Fitz operates, too, by the way? Not going to get skinny for radio, but the minute we're going on digital television, drops a bunch of weight, gets a haircut, shaves.
Yeah, you know, you are right. Like, I went several months during the pandemic without doing anything to my face, and I realized one day that I was starting to look too much like you, so I just decided I'd get rid of this and, you know, get rid of the little beard action, which took me a long time to grow. It takes a solid 3 months for me to get a 3-day growth.
So, I was gonna say, listen, that's generally the plight of lesser men. It's going to take you a while to get to that point.
That's fair.
We are Chinne and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz hanging out with us today. We're going to talk to, get a little more Notre Dame blood in here, Adi Ogundeji, Notre Dame defensive end, heading into the upcoming NFL draft in about 10 minutes. We've also got our mock draft rolling along today. We're getting down to it. Picks 21 through 24 leading up. Jason Fitz, you got to come on the other day and pick for your beloved Las Vegas Raiders. So we're going to try and keep this moving. But Jason, I want to get to something else because we saw this start to kind of get whispered about a little bit yesterday, and now it's a full-blown conversation. Julio Jones and his future with the Atlanta Falcons. Because as we've talked about the draft, and we have a rule around here, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. You can call in with any draft questions. Fitz is bursting with draft
takes. Yeah, that is true.
We have been getting ready for this draft show. 888-729-3776. It just can't have anything to do with Mac Jones or the 49ers' third overall pick. Because we're sick of talking about it. We've done too much. There's so many other draft things we want to get to. And we will get to your calls if you've got a question about anything else in the draft. And so now we can move down one more to four because it's starting to get interesting with the Atlanta Falcons. And I thought this was curious from Adam Schefter on the 6 o'clock Sports Center yesterday, our ESPN NFL insider, bringing up the Falcons, that fourth overall pick, and what they should do if they can also involve moving Julio Jones.
There are a lot of teams surrounding the Falcons who noticed how much time Arthur Smith spent with Kyle Pitts at his pro day, who know the type of generational talent that Kyle Pitts is. And there are people who believe that he is the best player in this draft. And so if the three quarterbacks, whichever quarterbacks they are, come off the board in the first three picks, that leaves Atlanta with the possibility and option of taking the player that many consider to be the best player in the draft, especially at a time when teams have been calling to inquire about the availability of Pro Bowl wide receiver Julio Jones, who the team could wind up dealing, but would not wind up dealing until post June 1 because of the salary cap ramifications. And so the Falcons could put a deal in place now, but it likely would have to involve 2022 draft compensation. But it sounds like Atlanta, if given the right offer, would be open to it. Teams are calling. We'll see whether they can get that done, and maybe that influences the decision of Kyle Pitts at the number 4 overall selection.
Chinne and Golic Jr., it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Jason, you down for moving Julio Jones if the price is right?
Not if you're drafting Kyle Pitts. I mean, if you're moving Julio Jones, then you are going into full rebuild mode, right? If you want to make the most of Kyle Pitts, you keep Julio Jones and you get yourself an extra weapon. If you're out there saying that you're going to move Julio Jones and draft Kyle Pitts, that's two strategies that go in two different directions. If you tell me that they're madly in love with whoever that quarterback is sitting at four, and by many of the mocks, that could be, for example, Justin Fields, who I should say I think is the second best quarterback in the draft. So if you're looking at it saying, you know what, we're going to go out there and we're going to get Justin Fields, then maybe you go into complete rebuild mode, at which point you consider trading Julio Jones. But the two strategies don't make sense to me aligning if you decide that you're going to put Julio Jones out of the building when you bring Kyle Pitts into the building.
I think it almost worked like a bridge program, because I think what Atlanta is dealing with right now is how much change and transition are you going to tolerate? This is a place where Julio Jones and Matt Ryan have been part of the identity for a while, and specifically Julio Jones, one of their top flight picks, is going to be a Hall of Famer, is going to be one of the best wide receivers in Falcons history. That's not a guy you'd probably readily let go to, but 32 years old, a little bit banged up last year, you could go and sell high. You could bring in Kyle Pitts, who, weapon-wise, I know he's listed as a tight end, but similarly, he's a space alien like Julio. That's the sell with this guy, is physical dominance. Matt Ryan is too expensive for you to move on from right now. And if you want to let a rookie quarterback sit for two potentially valuable years on that rookie deal, it just seems like bad business, to where I think you could dip a toe in and have the best of both worlds if you draft Kyle Pitts. You've got a weapon that's going to thrive in that Arthur Smith play-action offense with Matt Ryan and is still going to be around, could still be a useful second contract guy for you when, in a couple of years, you decide to go and finally address that quarterback spot once you're out from the other side of this hefty sum of money, some of which they've already moved around to keep Matt Ryan there and try and alleviate some of the immediate tension.
Is there not, though, a hefty sum of money? I mean, whether they move him after June 1st or not, there's still a hefty sum of dead money. Why take that on if you're a bad team? I mean, I hear what you're saying about you want to give yourself some level of continuity at the position at a star level for a long time, right? You give yourself explosive playmakers. I understand all of that. But is Kyle Pitts on a team without Julio Jones suddenly going to take the Falcons and take them from the fourth overall pick to picking at the end of the first round? Does he make them six wins better? I don't think so.
That's not the goal, though. If you're trying to think long-term about this, you'd say no, but you know what? Kyle Pitts can definitely be a guy that's a rock-solid portion of our team as we maybe transition from an aging veteran quarterback to a new rookie quarterback. What would be a better, more welcome sight if you end up having to go young or new in a couple of years after you get rid of Matt Ryan than a guy in Kyle Pitts who's now 2 years into his NFL career, who's got that time under task under his belt at a position that tends to be one of the friendliest to young players?
Could you not, though, with that same mindset, go into the fourth overall pick, take a Justin Fields, for example, and then wait until the top of the second round where there are still dynamic wide receivers available, draft you somebody that you think can develop into the role and treat wide receiver the same way you're treating quarterback? Give yourself the opportunity. Maybe you're right. You're wasting a little of their cheap years on the contract, but you're still putting yourself in a situation where you contend today, hopefully. As you move forward for Atlanta, you think that, all right, Matt Ryan's going to play great. All right, fine. The weapons explode. Fine. You contend today and you contend long term. That still makes more sense to me.
I just don't know how much the Falcons can look and say, we're going to turn it around right away. You won four games last year. You were a bad football team. To say that's all going to get fixed overnight is pretty tough. But Kyle Pitts is a unique commodity at a position where you don't get as many dynamic weapons like this as often you do as the wide receiver position. We can have a conversation about wideouts in the NFL, what's changing with that spot as the league kind of changes in the way it approaches offense. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Again, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. We'll take your draft questions, as long as they don't have to do with the words Mac Jones or the 49ers at 3, in just a little bit. But coming up next, the pipeline from the Irish to the NFL. You always think it's on the offensive line. What if I told you coming up next that the Notre Dame defensive front starting to form a pretty nice little tradition of its own? We'll talk to someone looking to add to it next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
That coverage on ESPN Radio, L. Duncan, Kevin Negandhi hosting ESPN Radio's NFL Draft coverage Thursday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. Mike Tannenbaum, Bart Scott, and Ian Fitzsimmons are going to join L and Kevin for days 1 and 2. Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz, hanging out with us in for Chennai today. You can check out Jason 7 to 9 Eastern on Spain and Company, our neighbors. Spain and Fitz. Wow.
I deserve that after yesterday.
I looked at you and took your name out of the title. That's an amazing level of disrespect.
You know, yesterday I used your name first in the name of this show, so I thought that was just a little shade. But I was giving you all the love, so I don't know where that came from.
Like I say, I don't know where it came from either. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Jason also going to be a part of our digital draft coverage on ESPN, along with myself and a great group. And we're looking forward, because this is a great weekend. I've always said, at the base level, it was so fun for me as a player watching my chance at this, watching my friends get that call that were getting drafted that was going to change their life forever. It's an unbelievably powerful weekend for a lot of these young men that have worked hard for a long time. And that includes our next guest joining us now on the Goodyear Hotline out of Notre Dame. Defensive end Ade Ogundeji, kind enough to give us a few moments here. And Ade, it's always nice when we can get some Notre Dame guys in the building, so I appreciate you giving us a few minutes here, man. I just want to start with this process. We know we're getting towards, we hope, the end of this pandemic, but it's affected the way that you guys have had to prepare for and talk to teams leading up to the draft. So what's been the biggest difference for you, the weirdest thing about trying to get ready for the NFL amidst all this?
Yeah, I would definitely say just going online, you know, on the Zoom. You know, I think it's a different type of meetings that you do, and you're doing them on Zoom, so it's a different type of feel, and you're not seeing the people face-to-face. But it's still been a great process. It's been a blessing to be this far, and I'm excited for what's to come.
So for anybody that doesn't know, each team can Zoom, I think, up to 5 times. So that means a lot for you guys. How do you balance Zooms with the workouts that you're also trying to accomplish?
Yeah, it's a little difficult. You know, you got those workouts that you have to work out with, but also with the Zoom. But you try to find a way to get those calls, because those are really important, and you need those Zoom calls to talk to the teams and see what they're like and what they are like as a coach as well. So I think you try to fit them in as much as you can, and also try to get those workouts in too.
And Ade, we know there's that part of the preparation. There's the physical part. There's meeting with teams, but there's also the mental understanding and trying to figure out what's coming next. I mentioned the Notre Dame offensive line room gets a lot of great building for putting out pros, but the Notre Dame D line room has really become an incredible pipeline of NFL caliber players. What have the conversations been like with you and some of the former guys that we've seen make that jump from college to the pros about what to expect next?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about just like you. I mean, offensive line at Notre Dame has definitely been a big thing. So, I mean, we can't talk about Notre Dame without the offensive line. But the defensive line at Notre Dame is just like that, too. So, you know, we always talk about each guy just stepping up, and all those guys in the past have done well, are continuing to do well in the league. And hopefully I'm one of that group that gets to go out there in the NFL.
So I always think it's incredible and interesting when a player comes out and sort of goes through the transition and the ride that you went through in your college career. You go from not playing a bunch to obviously having a huge year last year. When you look back on that and try and talk to teams, like what are teams asking you about that jump that you had in your last season?
Yeah, I think a lot of teams were wondering, you know, where I came from and like what happened during those times where I wasn't playing. I think for me, you know, my journey was a lot different from others. I had to really, you know, develop throughout the year. I came into Notre Dame at 210 pounds, you know. So, you know, I was a skinny kid trying to just get bigger and stronger each time. And, you know, I used those time that I did to get prepared. And whenever my name was called, like this past season, it was called to start. You try to make the best I could.
And you did just that, talking to Ade Ogundeji, Notre Dame defensive lineman, getting ready for the upcoming NFL draft here on Chennai and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz. Jason mentioned, what are teams asking you here? We hear all the time in this process now, we know Nick Sirianni and the Eagles got famous for asking a prospect to play rock, paper, scissors. Have you gotten any of those strange questions in the pre-draft process? Has anyone made you play rock, paper, scissors on Zoom?
I have not played rock, paper, scissors, but I know if I did, I'd be pretty good. Honestly, I think I would win most of the time, but I haven't got any crazy questions. You know, I've been pretty straightforward with just football and then, you know, just off the field, different things. So, you know, I've been pretty chill about with the Zoom calls and the phone calls.
Ade, like you mentioned earlier, teams are trying to get to know you, but at the same time, you're trying to get to know teams. I think that's an under-talked about part of this process, right? So how hard is it for you when you've got these Zooms and you're trying to meet all these coaches and just figure them out as personalities? How do you connect?
Yeah, you know, you try to get those questions in to see, you know, what the team's like, what they run, you know, how do you fit into that team's system? You know, you try to get the understanding of what that team's goal is, because you know, they're asking questions about you, but you also want to know questions for themselves before you, you know, head to that team. So for me, you know, I always want to know what the team runs, what the team does, where they see me at, and what the things that I could work on as a player.
What's your draft day plan? Like, how are you going to watch it and celebrate this whole moment?
Yeah, I'm going to be at my house. Currently, I'm at my house right now. I'm going to be at my house with just my mom, my dad, my brother, a couple of friends, family members, and that's going to be it. I mean, I'm a pretty chill dude. I'm probably going to have a sweatshirt on, some sweats, some socks, and call it a day. Get comfortable.
My man, going for the comfy draft. I appreciate that. Listen, that's what it's all about. You want to enjoy the day on your terms. I am interested in this because so much of what we do now has to do with social media, being online. I heard you were a guy that did not really buy into Twitter for the longest time and only recently got on. So what's your experience been like? Because you just got a Twitter at the end of this football season, correct?
I did, yeah. Yeah, I was pretty slow on the social media grind. You know, I barely used Facebook or Twitter. I didn't use Twitter at all till now. And I had Instagram for a while, but I was pretty slow on the social media grind. But I'll tell you this, you know, I just got Twitter, and I'm always on it. I see a lot of funny different things on it, and I'm enjoying it a lot. So I definitely missed out on Twitter.
No. Enjoy the tweets after you're drafted because it's all going to be great, and then just get off the thing. I'm telling you, then just let it go, honey. I'm just saying.
It is true. It's probably best to just use for the memes. So if I can offer any advice, it's just enjoy all the memes on there and then probably step away every once in a while. It can be a bit of a tough spot.
For sure.
Yeah, so outside of the Twitter advice, and I know we brought up some of the teammates you talked to before, are there any guys that you're especially close with, your Notre Dame teammates? Has you been given any good advice on what to expect this weekend and heading into your rookie season?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I got some advice from Khalid, who's with the Cincinnati Bengals, who played D-line. You know, Julian, who plays at the Detroit Lions. Alohi played for the Chargers. All those guys have given me some great advice on what to expect. And you know, all they say is, you know, once you get that phone call, it doesn't really matter what rounds it is. Just be happy. It's a blessing. You know, not many people get that phone call. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And so that's exactly what I'm going to do.
And it's an opportunity that you've earned, and it's one we're all excited to see where you land in this. Ade, we appreciate the time, man. Best of luck. Enjoy the weekend and the sweats, and enjoy some of the memes on Twitter. We'll talk to you soon. All right, man?
Congrats, brother.
Heck yeah, appreciate it, y'all.
There we go. Ade Ogundeji, former Notre Dame defensive end, getting ready for the upcoming NFL draft. Kind enough to give us a few minutes here. Notre Dame guys are always so, you know, they're going to be great. Like, it's such easy stock to buy into.
Yeah, this is also my annual reminder that for whatever reaction people have, like, remember the joy on his face. Like, he has worked his whole life to get this moment. It is a special moment. Like, you can save your draft analysis for, you know, months. Let's enjoy the moment for these kids that are getting a dream come true.
They've worked really hard for it. Coming up next, we will enjoy the moment for two more names that get called in our Chenangola Jr. mock draft. We will do that after this word from Angie. Now, we all know there's a lot of pride that comes with having your own home. Jason just put up a fence the other day.
Yeah, putting up, not me, like somebody else had to put up the fence.
Well, see, that's the idea here because you're getting ready to entertain family and friends. It's a huge investment. It's the biggest investment that you'll ever make. It's a place that you make your own, but it's also a lot of work. Angie is on a mission to help you love your home by taking on all the projects that come along with it, like putting up a fence, like fixing a leak the way I'm about to. Angie's going to take all the help you could possibly need for your home and put it right in the palm of your hands. When you download the Angie app, you can find a professional to fix an emergency leak right when you need it if you're planning a renovation. Angie matches you with the best contractor for the job. You can even schedule seasonal maintenance, so it's all on autopilot. Plus, you can see clear upfront pricing on hundreds of projects, so you know what you'll pay all ahead of time. You can even pay your pro securely right through the app. Handling your home has never been this straightforward. But now we have Angie, your home for everything home. Download it today. Back after this as our mock draft rolls along on Chenea Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenea Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Chenea Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at Progressive.com. Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz, who is dancing really uncomfortably for anyone watching on ESPN Plus right now.
Speak for yourself, good sir.
See, this is the problem. So Jason's got a lot of pent-up energy right now because him and I are getting ready for a digital draft show. Jason's got all of these pent-up draft takes that he's trying to unleash on the world. So 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. If you have any NFL draft question on what we're getting ready to see this weekend that doesn't have to do with the Niners or Mac Jones, we're sick of it. We're done with that conversation. You can call us, 888-SAY-ESPN. We'll get to those calls in about 10 minutes, but we've been making a mockery of the draft by doing a mock draft and outsourcing other people to come in and help us with that job. It's often imitated. It's never duplicated. It is the Chenea Ngolick Jr. 2021 mock draft.
The road to Super Bowl 56 and the Lombardi Trophy starts here.
Good evening. So you ready for the draft?
The NFL draft is right around the corner. And instead of Chenea Ngolick Jr. trying to navigate the mock draft landscape, we'll ask the people that actually cover and talk about these teams. It's the inaugural Chenea Ngolick Jr. Mock Draft on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
Ooh, it feels so good. Now, Jason, we're getting down to picks 21 through 24 today. We got the Colts at 21, and we got some big names still on the board. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah out of Notre Dame, Trevon Moehrig from TCU, Kadarius Toney. So we've got some studs still in the stable.
There's a lot of good defensive players. This is going to happen during the draft, too. We're going to see a lot of good defensive players available in the 20s that we'll all be saying, what?
It's going to be very exciting. Let's see if one's getting ready to come off the board because we've got the Colts on the clock at 21. Cliff, hit those chimes. To help us out with this pick, Kevin Bowen, reporter for 107.5 The Fan, joins us now. Kevin, the 21st overall pick in the draft. The floor is yours, sir.
Yes, and my best Roger Goodell voice with the 21st pick in the 2021 NFL Draft. Indianapolis Colts select Greg Newsom, cornerback, Northwestern.
Love the pick, Kevin. Let me ask, any concerns about durability? He missed at least 3 games in every year of his college career.
A little bit, but the ball production was too much for me to pass up. Like you guys said, defensive players are going to fall in this draft. I feel like you rely on the offensive line depth of this draft to address the big need at left tackle. Quiddy Pay going a few picks earlier, took off who I think is the top edge rusher. So when Jim Irsay talked corner as a need a few weeks ago, when the owner talks, you usually listen. So I'll go with Greg Newsom out of Northwestern.
Pretty good place to start. Kevin, we appreciate the insight on this. Great pick. Great pick. We'll talk to you soon. Kevin Bowen, kind enough to join us there. Greg Newsom, you mentioned, we're going to get to this point now. So much focus on offense earlier in the draft. And I would say some uncertainty. You mentioned the games missed there. We know with J.C. Horn, the questions about the back injury coming out of – Caleb Farley. Don't want to put that on anyone else. Caleb Farley coming out of Virginia Tech. You've got some concerns about the back surgery. Quiddy Pay, Jalen Phillips, some injury concerns there as well. So there are understandable reasons, but it's still strange that we have this many quality defensive players falling.
Yeah, and most mocks will tell you that Greg Newsom is the third best corner in this draft. I think that's probably pretty fair you start to break down what it means for the Colts. This is a team that obviously is looking for an infusion of youth on the defensive side of the ball that continues to be competitive in a defense that has a lot of very good offenses, right? So I think it makes a lot of sense to go corner there. And if they go corner the way that this has fallen, there isn't a better one. Newsom's somebody that I would not be surprised if he went as high as 16, as low as 26. Like somewhere in that range, somebody's going to jump on him.
I would agree. And someone jumped on him here. So now we've gotten the Colts off the board with Greg Newsom out of Northwestern. And now it's time for 22. The Titans. Cliff at the chimes. And Fitz, I'm going to be perfectly honest. We know that you came on here to pick for your beloved Las Vegas Raiders, but we also know you spent your time cutting your teeth in Nashville. You're also a proud 20-year veteran of living in Nashville. It's a city that you called home for a long time. We thought we'd let you make the pick for the Tennessee Titans as well, just because we got you here.
Now I'm going to get crushed in Tennessee, but look, this makes a little bit of sense given the fact that the Tennessee Titans are always, they are very dynamic offense. I'm qualifying the pick before I make it. 22nd overall pick in the 2021 draft. The Titans are going to take Rashad Bateman, wide receiver out of Minnesota.
So why were you so apprehensive here, Pitts? Rashad Pitts. You are certainly not Kyle. But Fitz, why are you so apprehensive?
Kind of Kyle we Pitts know of ESPN.
Rashad Bateman going to be one of the more underrated. I'm going to ignore that comment completely. I can't. What an insult to Kyle Pitts, by the way.
Oh, transcendent. You can put me anywhere. I can make it happen. I'm done to get into this.
You done? You feel good?
I feel
pretty
good.
Do you want to do any more reasons why you and Kyle Pitts are similar comps here?
Oh, man.
Or do you want to tell me why Nashville is going to come up and come for you with pitchforks for picking Rashad Bateman, who's a great receiver?
Yeah, Rashad Bateman is a great receiver, right? And so Corey Davis obviously steps away from the team. So now they got to figure out how to fill that hole. They need defensive playmakers. I still think the Titans need defensive playmakers. They need the ability to get after somebody. But I'm not sure that that person exists in the first round of the draft. Kwity Paye being the one edge rusher that I have a lot of belief in, he's off the board. So you got to start looking across the board and saying, okay, the Titans got to get another wide receiver. Why not that one?
Was there any thought to offensive line at this pick? Janae Golick Jr., Mike Golick Jr., Jason Fitz. We know Ryan Kelly left this offseason. Taylor Lewan was banged up last year, the knee injury, but hopefully should be back this season. I've seen some places maybe look. We know we called his name. We still have him on the board here, but Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State, a guy who certainly fits the demeanor of this Titans team.
Now, Tevin Jenkins is a really interesting point because he was also on my board for the Raiders. They need a right tackle, right? So I continually look at Tevin Jenkins, but I'm going to say the same thing here that I said just a few picks earlier. I'm not sure at this point there's a drastic difference between the quality of tackle or guard that you'll get at this point in the draft in the first round versus the second round. I think there's going to be some, you said it earlier, there's going to be a run early, and then I think there's going to be a long wait and see. And that wait and see is all about, can I get somebody in the second round? Realistically, the way this board is played out, the Titans are one of many teams I think that will be looking to trade down. But if you're sitting there saying, man, is Jenkins so much better than an option I can get later on? I don't know. And Bateman is he is at the right spot. I mean, there's also value of the wide receiver in second, third rounds too.
Yeah, it's a difficult prospect here, but I'm with you. We know there's also a class of wide receivers that are looked at, and it's really, I think, a three-pack of Devonta Smith, certainly of Jamar Chase, and I would throw Kyle Pitts in there, the top three weapons in this draft. But from there, Rashad Bateman, who we know opted out originally, came back for the five games of Minnesota, and then after a COVID outbreak on the team, opted out again at the end of the season. He's a guy who's had a lot of production in that offense when they were really humming in 2019.
Yeah, and in 2019, we were out there for game day and went to Minnesota, and just watching, like, I'll always go back to, I remember when you and I were standing on the sideline and saw Chase Young for the first time, and both of us just stood there and said, that's not fair. There was a moment watching Bateman run, just standing on the field, where he was faster than everybody and bigger than everybody. It's just certain guys transcend, and he did that absolutely. Especially, this is one of those, much like Trayvon Mehring, the safety out of TCU. I think sometimes you got to go back to 2019 to get the real full body of work.
And a lot you've heard, as we've talked to and heard from scouts, coaches, about the differences in scouting this year, a lot of them will say because of the variables around this 2020 season, they think that 2019 tape, for a lot of reasons, can be more indicative of the player that you're going to get. So that's our mock draft rolling along. Again, picks 21 and 22, the Colts and Titans, Greg Newsome going to Indy, and Rashad Bateman, courtesy of Jason Fitz, going to Tennessee.
You can line me up anywhere. You can just put me in the slot, or maybe I'll play a little tight end, like versatile.
All right, listen, we'll put him to the test, because coming up next, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. If you want to ask any draft questions about any teams besides the 49ers and besides Mac Jones, Jason Fitz, who's calling himself the Kyle Pitts of ESPN, is ready to answer them for you. We'll get to that next here. Chenan Golick Jr., Mike Golick Jr. with Jason Pitts on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chenan Golick Jr., the podcast.
Well, the countdown is on to the 2021 NFL Draft.
Join me, Elle Duncan, Kevin DeGonti. Full coverage of the first three rounds on ESPN Radio.
Coverage begins Thursday, 7 Eastern, on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
And you can catch Elle Duncan, Kevin DeGonti, hosting ESPN Radio's coverage of the NFL Draft right here, Thursday, 7 Eastern. Mike Tannenbaum, Bart Scott, and Ian Fitzsimmons all going to join Elle and Kevin for days 1 and 2. Chenan Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golick Jr., Jason Fitz, or as he now dubs himself, Jason Pitts, saying that he is the Kyle Pitts of ESPN. You can put him anywhere in any offense or on any show in any role, and he is going to thrive. Jason, are you going to run with this and have the courage to say this to anyone else in the building?
No, not a chance. I mean,
you did just say it on national radio, so they're going to find out.
That is fair. Look, I'm on this show, and right after this, after the opening show is done, we go to the headlining show, which is Spain and Fitz. 7 to 9 p.m. on ESPN. And then, you know, for you ESPN Plus fans, you can find me on Sports Nation tonight. Like, I'm marathoning it today at different positions, buddy. I'm Kyle Pitts in it.
You know what? Kyle Pitts in it. It's probably a good spot to be in, all things considered. You mentioned the marathon that is the draft. You know how I know we're getting towards the end of all this in a way that just makes me want to headbutt a knife? Did you see Chris Sims' mock draft that came out today?
Oh, God, no. No.
Justin Fields going 32nd overall to Tampa Bay. Like, we got to stop it. I don't know Chris. I'm not here to, like, belittle him or anything. But it's just the point in the draft cycle we're at where we just need to stop with all this. We need the draft to start. We need to be done.
I understand that it's a fun conversation and everybody likes to get people clicking on things. But let's have a little bit of common sense in here. Like, if Justin Fields starts to free fall, somebody will trade up to get Justin Fields before he would ever make it to 32.
We hope so. We hope to God. So if you don't want to ask questions because Justin Fields has been in that conversation around the third pick.
Justin Fields will make it past 17. If for some god-awful reason he's sitting there at 17, I'm like, look, y'all know I'm a huge Derek Carr fan. John Gruden's not going to pass on Justin Fields. So that's just absolutely delusional.
One of many teams in there. I mean, you look down that list, Chicago, New England.
Oh, yeah, Chicago passed
on
him. All
the people that would have to pass up on him. Hell, Philadelphia, if you're sitting there at 12 and that guy's there, I'd feel froggy and jump on that. Bye, Jalen. Like, it's been real. But we want to hear from you, 888-729-3776, on your questions, on any drafts you've seen, on any mock drafts you've seen, on what you think is going to happen this weekend. Let's go to Tony in Ohio. Tony, you're on Chenea and Gola Jr. What's your draft question?
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thanks.
Hey, question for you. I'm a Bengals fan. Don't hold that against me. There's a lot of talk has been about either Penei Sewell or Ja'Marr Chase being taken. They both project to be pretty well, do pretty well in the NFL. Would you rather have a 10-year All-Pro offensive lineman or a 10-year All-Pro wide receiver?
I'm going to answer this for you, Tony, because Mike's got too much bias as a former lineman, right? Look, there is zero chance that I would take Ja'Marr Chase over Penei Sewell. And that's not because Ja'Marr Chase isn't spectacular. He is spectacular, but so is Penei. You got to go back. Obviously, he opted out last year. You got to go back and watch 2019. He is a transcendent tackle talent, and you don't find that very often that's going to be available to you at 5. Frankly, I think in most drafts, he'd be a second or third overall pick. But realistically, Joe Burrow does you no good if he's dead. And that's what's going to happen at some point if you keep letting him get hit the way the Bengals let him get hit. And you saw everything you needed to see when they came in with their play calling, and they used him so much. The usage rate on Joe Burrow said, we're fearless about a bad offensive line. I don't think that's going to change from a coaching standpoint, which means you better protect yourself, better to protect your investment in Burrow. I'd absolutely, 100 times out of 100, you take Sewell over Ja'Marr Chase if you're the Bengals.
I completely agree in a way that's going to surprise no one in this spot. I'll just say, I remember having a conversation with Mina Kimes before last season, wondering how can the Bengals tailor their offense in a way that doesn't get Joe Burrow kill, because they just didn't have the resources up front to make it happen. So I completely agree. Let's get one more in here. Let's go to Steve in Connecticut. Steve, you're on Chenea and Gola Jr. What's your draft question?
If the Eagles move Zach Ertz, where are they going to land in the draft? And two, I'd like to shout out the Weathersfield Youth Lacrosse on our way to a game tonight.
Let's go. All right, Weathersfield Youth Lax in the building.
I love that Junior always goes lax instead of lacrosse, because that's what the cool kids say. And I always am reminded I'm not a cool kid in that moment. Like, I can't say lax and have it work.
But I mean, you can if you just say it with a little bit of confidence.
Well,
you just, like, limp into it, and then you say it like, you know, you're having a jolly good time with things.
Basically describing most of my Friday nights. Okay, shout out, by the way, to the Weathersfield Lax kids, right? Did I do it okay there?
I mean, when you lax put the bro. When you put the emphasis on it like that, Jason, when you're like, lax.
So there is a real question of what the Eagles are going to do here, right, Mike? Like, I mean, they moved back to 12, and frankly, they would have been if they had waited to make any transactions in the Justin Fields sweepstakes, I think, at this point. They're not at 12. I feel like they're going to take the best receiver that's left sitting there for them. I mean, that's what makes sense.
In some mock drafts I've been a part of, it's, all right, are the New York Giants, who pick right before them at 11, are they going to steal Jalen Waddle from them potentially there? Is it going to leave them going with the best defensive back overall? Because we know that's an area that's off injured for them if J.C. Horn and some of those guys start to fall to that range. And so I would imagine it's some sort of perimeter weapon for the Eagles. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. We'll get to plenty more of your draft questions as the day goes along. Again, all we ask, just no number three pick talk, no Mac Jones talk. We've done too much of it.
Number three pick talk is number two.
Oh, my God, Jason. All right, coming up next, let's talk about who's number one in New York. How much would a championship hit different for the Knicks than the Nets? Next.
Thanks for listening to Jhené and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.